Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into the 35th part of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is a CD or a tape or a program number 137. So if you want to order, we'll tell you at the end of the program how to receive a copy absolutely free, a CD or a tape of part 35 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and that would be program number 137. All right, now we have some letters today and responses. So right now let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to outwardly anoint this service. Father, outwardly anoint me to be united with you in spirit, that your spirit anoint me outwardly and inwardly, that you use me, that your voice comes right through me with my voice to explain the things that you want explained to the public and to the church, that the souls of those out in radio land will be saved, and the ones that are saved in radio land will then in turn to the others of the world that they are surrounded with, and get this gospel to them, and that the church be strengthened, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's your letter from?
From Akragana.
Okay.
Dear Prophet of Christ, greetings to you and your ministry in the name of the Almighty God. Prophet, I have heard of the wonderful work you are doing and how many souls you are winning for Christ. May the Almighty God anoint you the more and give you more life to win more souls for him till he comes. I was once a smoker, but when I read the prayer at the end of one of your newsletters, I have resigned from smoking and am now among Christians. And now I want a Bible for church, so please help me with one holy Bible for church. God richly bless you. Amen. Robert from Kasau, Akragana, Africa.
Okay, now let's read the one from India. That's very good. Let's send them a Bible, and that they may have communion with the Lord. And communion, the Bible tells us that we're to eat the bread
of life
and to drink the spirit of life, which is the blood of Jesus, or the water of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit. That's why we take Holy Communion, is that he says, this is my body which is broken for you, eat. It's very important to eat the brokenness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, and to drink his blood that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary. Because unless we eat that body of Christ, which is symbolized in the Bible, and by the communion that we have of his body that was broken, that was destroyed for us, so that we could have eternal life. The Holy Communion is extremely important, that we eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus. This statement from the Lord stated that anyone that doesn't eat his body and drink his blood, that there's no way that they can enter the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, we have to eat the bread of life. By doing so, this breaks our spirit, not just to eat it, but to do what it says, and to drink it, that it means to drink in his blood. We know that the blood of Jesus takes away the sins of the entire world, and that we, it's the most powerful force in the universe, the spirit, the blood of Jesus. The word of God is the bread. All these are one, and causes our spirits to be broken so that the spirit of the Lord can enter into us. If our spirit is not humbled or broken from eating and drinking Christ, then there's no possible way that the Lord can enter into us, and therefore it's impossible for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's what the Lord was saying in the sixth chapter of the book of John. He stated that if you don't, there's no way to enter heaven. And this offended a bunch of followers of Christ, and they walked no more with him. And that scripture is John 6:6. They become Antichrist, those that once knew the Lord and departed from him. They were his very disciples. They followed him wherever they were because they didn't believe that you had to eat the body of Christ, which is the bread of life, which is the word of God. Christ is the word of God. And to drink his blood and to keep the blood over you at all times. So just in case you may have committed a sin that you don't know about. Not a sin unto death that you do know about, but a sin that is not unto death, because there's nothing, even one speck of sin can enter the kingdom of God. And so we have to make sure, we have to ensure ourselves that we're eating his bread every day, his body, and drinking his blood. He says, do that as often as you think of me. Well, how often would that be? The Lord says to keep our minds stayed upon him both day and night. Amen. So we're to be pleading the blood at all times and to be eating his flesh at all times, so to be meditating in his word. That's how often it should be in order for us to ensure that we're going to make it into the kingdom of God and stay out of the pit of hell. And so let's read another one here.
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear beloved and respected brother, Dr. Tony Alamo, sir, greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you and we pray for you all. Thank you very much for your prayers, cooperation, and support to the poor and needy people of India.
Well, we need to pray for the poor and needy, and we need to give tithes into the church so that the church can, or the body of Christ can support the poor and needy. You say, why? What benefit can we get from giving to the poor? Well, the benefit that you can get, and it shouldn't always be a benefit for you, we do that because the Lord says, remember the poor. Amen.
Amen.
And to make sure to feed those that are poor and needy and to clothe them. And can you think of any other benefit? The most important one of all is that the prayers of the poor people, when you bless them with the blessings that the Lord has given you, they will pray for you. And that's one thing. They don't have anything to give you, but they can sure pray for you. And that gives you strength and power to make it into the kingdom of God. So there isn't anything that the Lord tells you to do that if you do it, that there isn't going to be a reward for it. First of all, God's going to bless you for it, and they're going to bless you for it by praying for you and thanking God for you. And you can hear it all the time. They say, thank you. We're praying for you. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, with the entire world government against me, well, the first, they're against God, they're against Jesus, they're Antichrist government, and they're against the Word of God and against Christians, those of us that preach the Word. And so when we give to the poor, I mean, I can remember when I was young, a very young boy, and my mother and my two brothers and myself, we didn't have anything unless I went out and went to work when I was about 9 years old, 8, 9 years old. I was carrying a paper out, and I'd go out and shovel snow and everything to bring money in to support my mother and my two brothers. And I believe that my longevity and the good health that I have today and the way that God has blessed me came from me unconsciously just doing what the Bible tells you to do. And I've always felt whenever I'd see anybody else that was poor, I know what it's like to not have food in the house. I know what it's like to not be able to pay the rent. I know what it's like when there's so many bills come in you just can't figure out how they're going to be paid, because and you just wonder, you know, and you just go out and say, what little I make today or whatever. But you know, I didn't even know God. I didn't know him at all, but I knew I had to go to work. I knew that unless you plow, there's nothing going to be, you won't be able to sow. And if you don't sow, there isn't anything that you're going to be able to harvest. And so you've got to put yourself into motion to do something constructive or else you go down the tubes. So I went out and I shined shoes, delivered papers, sold papers on the streets, shoveled walks, worked in a bakery, just loading, unloading the wrapping machine, putting the loaves of bread on a rack, and doing all that. In some miraculous way, all the bills would get paid, and we'd have food on the table. And but, you know, miracles are not going to happen unless you just sit there. And miracles can really happen if you put yourself in the place of poor people that have nothing to eat. And my dad just left us and didn't seem to really care. He was sort of like a gypsy. He was a very talented man, but he just would take off from time to time. And he did own hotels. When he'd come back, you know, then I'd go to work with him and help him with his dance studios and with the hotel that he owned, nightclubs and things like that, and then the gambling casinos. And I always thought that gambling casinos were, you know, all these things when I was a kid, because they were supporting us when he'd be in town. But he'd be gone the majority of the time. But I've known what it's like to not have food, and I know what hunger means, and I know what it's to not have enough money to pay for coal or wood to burn in the stoves that we had, coal and wood stoves. And the house would get extremely cold in Montana if we didn't have it. And so I knew that I had to work when he was gone. And God always provided one way or another. It got so bad one time that my mother had a wristwatch, and she gave it to me to go down to Last Chance Gulch Boulevard in Helena, Montana, to the Sportsman Club, which was upstairs. A black man who was a wrestler that owned this beer joint up above this little store. I went up this big flight of stairs, and he and I were friendly. And I'd say, you know, we don't have any food in the house, and my mother sent this watch over here. And he said, how much you want for it? I said, $5. He said, well, I'll buy it from you if you can lift me up off the floor. And he weighed about 230 to 250, and I just grabbed him by his legs and lifted him up, because I was always pretty strong. And so he gave me the $5, and I went home, and that was the worst that it got, that I had to sell my mother's watch. So when I made money, I got her another watch, a better one too. But I know what it's like to be broke and hungry and needy. And it just makes me want to help people, because I realize I was a kid. My baby brother was there, and he was only finally I got to be 12 years old, and he was born. And he didn't. I'd go to the store and get him a stack of T-shirts and warm clothes and stuff like that, and bring it home with food and clothing and things, and enough money to pay for the coal and the coal delivery and the ice man. We didn't have a refrigerator. We had an ice box that you put a 25-pound keg of ice in there that would keep the food cold. And you don't really realize, you know, with people that are sitting on top, you know, in the gospel field and so on, the life they went through. And that's why I feel sorry for poor people, because I always picture my mother and my brothers, and I never had any sisters, but I mean, I just feel very sorry for poor people. And that's why, and then when I read in the Bible that the Lord commends those that give to the poor and needy, and that He commands us to do that, and even our enemies, this is the love of God, amen?
Amen.
And if you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of His, He created everybody on earth, and so everybody really should be our brother and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
We all related. We all come from the same mother and dad, Adam and Eve, and then after we're saved, we come from Jesus now. We're born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. And so that's why you should give tithes and offerings, because even though you may not be able to see the people that we're supporting with your tithes and offerings, you got to know that these people, when they are thanking and praising the Lord. It's because of the fact that you gave the finances to feed and clothe and house them and to pay for their gasoline to go to. We have almost every week several people come to us that, could you put gas in our car so that we could go to work in the morning? We have a job interview or something like that. And of course we will, but we go down to the gas station with them and put the gas in there so that they, in case they might be lying to us, in case they might be wanting to buy drugs or wine or beer or alcohol with that and just get drunk with it. But, you know, we do it when we know they're sincere. And when they want literature and Bibles, because this is the only way they're going to get into heaven, is to give them the food and drink, the bread of life and the spirit of life to drink. And when we do what the Lord tells us to do, that's love. I mean, we could do it on our own, and I was being saved. But I still didn't have the Lord living in me. And I didn't even know that I was keeping a commandment of the Lord. But the Lord honored me by revealing himself, because I was totally blind that Jesus was the Savior. I was totally blind that God was alive in Jesus, that there was a spiritual realm, that were, there were the Spirit of God and angels all around us, and that there are demons around us pounding our heads with a brain control type thing that's coming from the Vatican and through the United Nations and through the media. And there's around 2% of the people in the world, in the United States, that are homosexuals, but they have such a control or a hold that everybody's going for homosexuality, and that there's no wholesomeness in the world, that everybody's corrupt and full of violence and filth and degenerate brains and so on. But I want you to know that we're not that way, and I know there are people in the church, every church, even mine, that are corrupt, and they still have not taken on the Spirit of the Lord, because he's not manifesting himself in them. And this is the manifestation of the sons of God, is that they do what the Lord says. They don't get involved in flirting with their eyes or phoniness or smiling when you're looking at them, and when you turn your back away from them, then they frown, and they just, in order to receive food and lodging in the church and other amenities, they smile when they don't really mean it, and they love when they don't really mean it. And many of them are focused on the things of this world more than, and not at all on the Lord, because they're false Christians, false people. They say they love, but they don't love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. And now that I know that the things that I was doing before I was saved, when I was just a little boy, that God has blessed me for, because I was totally blind to it. One day in an office, the Spirit of God came down on me and closed my carnal ears off, and I couldn't hear a thing from my ears, but I could hear the voice of God speaking through me, saying, "I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die." And I thought I was going crazy. And I have a literature that I've written about that whole experience and what I was doing at the time. I was considered, and still am, to be the number one public relations and promotional person on the face of this earth. There isn't anyone that has the kind of brain that I have to be able to do these things. But the Lord has never allowed me to do any promotion for this church. As a matter of fact, I know how to do the promotion and everything a lot better than anybody of these people that are, I see, using the gospel to line their pockets. As I told you before, I wound up with a Beatles album because I did the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles. And I have all these things that I've never released yet. And there's a person that's just offered me millions of dollars. Now, you may say, well, you should take that money and give it to them. No, not if the Lord told me not to. Amen. And he has told me not to do that. So don't tell me that I should have done that, because you're a self-willed person. You don't know the Lord. You don't know His Spirit. And if He told you not to do that and you did it, that would be a disobedience to the Lord. And He says in His Word that disobedience is the same as witchcraft. And this is the very thing that the Lord destroyed Saul for, King Saul, who was the first king of Israel, a carnal king, because he disobeyed the Lord. The Lord said, I told him to do something, and he did the exact opposite. And if you're going to say that you're a servant of the Lord, then you serve Him the way He says to be served. And the Bible says that we have to have faith, because we're saved by faith and we're damned by doubt. It's just like God told Abraham that He was going to have a son, and he fell on his face and started laughing because he thought that, you know, this is just funny. But the Lord said, no, you're going to have a son. He says, oh, I would that Ishmael would walk before you, that he's my son. It's not Ishmael. You're going to have a son through your wife, Sarah. And he's laughing because he's 99 years old, and Sarah's 90 years old. And how in the world, I don't know of anybody in the world today that's, I've heard of men having children when they're 90 and plus, but I've never heard of a woman having a child at the age of 90. Have you?
No.
No, but so this is a miracle. And Sarah laughed about it as well. But the Lord said, why did you laugh? I made a covenant with you. Now, you're supposed to, if I make a deal with you, you're supposed to keep your end of the deal and I'm supposed to keep mine. Now, God says, my part of the deal is that you believe everything I say. And I know that if you believe it, that you're going to do what I tell you to do. Now, I'm going to do what I told you to do. I said you're going to have a son, and that through him, all the nations in the world are going to be blessed. And so when he told Abraham to take Isaac after he had the son, now the thing that the Lord promised didn't happen. He had a son. Amen?
Amen.
So when God tells you something, it's going to come to pass. If he says that you're going around telling people that you're a Christian and you're a lesbian, and you said, think that you can be a Christian lesbian, you're crazy. Or a Christian homosexual, there's no such thing as that. The Lord forbids that you do things like that, and if you continue doing them, you're damned, because you're not obedient to the Word of God. The Lord says for you to be faithful to your husband, not to be a phony around him, to hold no secrets from your husband, to hold, because God knows all the things, the secret things of your heart, and He knows that you're a phony, and that you say that you're a Christian, and that God is living in you with Christ by the Spirit, and then you're still holding the satanic things in you, and if they're not confessed, that they're still there. And so you're attempting to believe that God is going to cohabitate or live in you with the spirit of Satan in you. What you're doing is covering up for Satan, and the Lord does not honor that. But at any rate, he promised Abraham that he was going to have a child, and through Sarah, both of them laughed, but this was a promise, a covenant. And so when this came to pass, well, then Abraham knew that when God said something, he's going to perform it. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore that kindled extreme faith in Abraham, because he knew that he was a truthful God. When he'd tell him something, it would come to pass. And so when he told him later in life to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and to kill the boy, he says, okay, I'll do it. So he went right up there and did it, because he had the faith. It was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. But God said they would, and they did have the child. Amen?
Yeah.
And so when they had that child, both of them had extreme faith. So he says, take your son, your only son, up to the mount, and then offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Well, he kept, he went over to the bottom of the mountain, left his two servants there, and said, okay, just stay here, and we will be back. That means him and his boy, Isaac, will be back. Because he had enough faith in God to know, because God told him that through his son, many nations would be blessed. And therefore, he knew, even when he lifted the knife up to knife him, to put him to death, he said, sacrifice your son. That means kill him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He knew that when he picked the knife up and had the, was going to set the fire, that if he killed the boy, and even his ashes were there, that God had the power to put those ashes together and raise him from the dead, because in reality that boy came out of a dead man's body and a dead woman's body. Amen?
Amen.
So that was a miracle, and that wouldn't be any more of a miracle for God to take a bunch of ashes and put them back together again so that the boy and Abraham would come down the hill again, as he said that they would to the two servants down there. Amen?
Amen.
So that when the Lord tells you that if you are a homosexual or a lesbian, or you're an adulteress because you even commit adultery with your eyes, or if you fornicate, you're going to go to hell. If you're a liar, if you conceal Satan, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Believe him, because he has a covenant. He says, my word is true, and I will perform my word if you do what you keep your part of the covenant. Now, the covenant is you say you're going to give up all your sins and you're not going to sin anymore. My covenant says that I'm going to bless you above anybody on the face of this earth. I told that to Abraham, told to Isaac and Jacob, and I told Abraham that he was going to have a son, and he had the son. I told him that he's going to bless all the nations through that son, and that through him and Jacob that there would be 12 princes. And those 12 princes would be the making of the land of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And that the land of Israel would be the country that would be God's chosen people. And they went through trials and tribulations. They lost faith. And it's God's covenant that if you lose faith, that you'll be damned. And many of them were damned because of their lack of faith. And the Lord said for us in the Bible, for everyone, even the Gentiles, to pray for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem, and to honor God and his people, and to not fight against them. He says, because I'll bless those that blessed you, and I'll curse those that cursed you. And so if you're cursed because you hate Jews, well then you just don't believe in God's covenant. He promises that he'll curse you. And when God says he's going to do something, just like he told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and it's going to not be through Hagar, it's going to be through Sarah. Then you believed me, okay? And sure enough, it happened. And then the nations, then this Isaac went up the mountain. He came back down just like Abraham told his two servants. And then there was the 12 princes of Israel. All these things came to pass because God's word is true. And this is a covenant. That means a promise that God promises to those that are like faithful Abraham, that believe God, that have faith in God, that he says, you keep my commandments and you'll live. If you break my commandments, you're going to die. If you keep my commandments, you're going to be blessed. If you take communion with me, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you eat the bread of life, then but get Psalm 23. We'll see what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want for anything if I follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Mercy, doesn't it say that mercy and goodness will follow you, me, all the days of my life if I serve the Lord? You could say that if you were, you had like a guy behind you named Mercy and another one called Goodness. Amen? And you go this way and Mercy and Goodness follows you. Amen?
Amen?
So you turn to the right and here Mercy and Goodness just follows right after you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start running like crazy and Mercy and Goodness starts following you all the days of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because he says, that, read it, the Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I'm not going to want for anything because he made a covenant to me. He made a covenant to me that I won't want for anything. Okay? Nothing. Okay, and then what?
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
In other words, everything is green. There's no stubble or burnt grass or anything there. Everything is like green. Like some people say, money is green, you know. In other words, he's going to prosper you no matter where you go, right? That's a promise. That's a covenant. But that only is to those that keep their covenant, that they're going to keep the covenant of the Lord. They're going to want mercy and goodness to follow them all the days of their life. And so, therefore, they keep the commandments of the Lord. They don't lust after women lusting after women or men lusting after men. Or for that matter, men lusting after women. All right? Or women lusting after men if they're married. Amen?
Amen.
You shouldn't lust. You should want to have a wholesome marriage, somebody that loves you and somebody that's going to support you and somebody to take care of you. Well, okay, and then what?
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He leadeth me beside the still waters. I mean, there's all commotion could be going on the face of this earth, and it doesn't make any difference. God made a covenant with you. Every devil in hell is bombarding you both day and night. It says that he's the accuser of the saints, and he accuses them both day and night. He's telling you that you're a lesbian, that you're no good, that you're a weasel, that you're a gutter snipe, you came out of the gutter, your mother's a gutter snipe, your sisters are gutter snipes, your brothers are gutter snipes, and you're no good either, but God says, if you made a covenant with me, then I'm making a covenant with you. And my covenant, my promises are true. Amen?
Amen.
I told Abraham he's going to have a son at 100 years old. 99 is the same as 100. Amen?
Amen.
Did he have the son?
Yes.
Yes, indeed he did. And did that son come down the mountain with him when Abraham says he's coming down the mountain with me?
Yes.
You know why? Because the Lord says, sacrifice your son, your only son, the son that you love. But then when he was up there, it says God, he told his son, God will provide a sacrifice. And he did. Instead of Abraham having to give his only begotten son, God gave his only begotten son. He kept the covenant. Amen?
Amen.
God promised Abraham that he would give his only begotten son for the sins of the entire world. That's the covenant he made. Now, when the Lord sends his only begotten son and backed it up with over 333 prophecies of him coming into the world, and then people reject that, well, then you're rejecting the covenant. You don't want to make a deal with God that you can be blessed, you can be healed. God makes a covenant. You're healed. By my stripes, you were healed. But if you just let the devil talk to you and say, you're not healed, you've got a dreaded disease and everybody else in the world is dying from it, and by God, you're going to die too. And if you believe that, instead of the covenant, the promise of God, Abraham believed God, and therefore God blessed him above all people. Amen?
Amen?
Called him the father of faith. And everybody in the world, did God bless everyone in the world, all the nations, through his son Isaac?
Yes.
And Jacob?
Yes.
And the 12 princes of Israel?
Yes.
God kept his covenant. Amen?
Amen.
And did he send himself into the world to die for the sins of the world and make that deal with you? If you keep my covenant, if you keep my commandments, if you let me live in you with my Father by the Spirit, then I will bless you, and then you'll go to the kingdom of heaven. Now, God thus far has kept his covenant with people, and by God, if you don't keep the covenant with him, he promises also that you'll go to hell in the lake of fire. Now, you've got too much to lose, you know, to be led by your lusts rather than by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So So God made a covenant with Abraham, and he kept it. Isaac, he kept it. Jacob, he kept it. The 12 princes of Israel, he kept it. He said he's sending a Savior. The Savior came into the world, backed up with 333 prophets, maybe even more. That's what I have found. And now he's still got this covenant going with people that will keep the covenant with him. Okay, now continue on in the 23rd Psalm.
He restores my soul.
He restores your soul. If and he restores your soul by messages that you hear. Because the Bible says that we're the way of life is the continuous, the reproof of the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord over and over again, here a little and there a little bit over here and a little bit over there. And you've known about Abraham, but it's good to hear about it again, isn't it?
Yes.
Good to hear about the covenant again, because God made a covenant, a promise with us. And read that sentence again.
He restoreth my soul.
And by hearing the covenant again, and it restores your soul, it builds up faith in you. And faith is wonderful, because without it, you're not saved, you're not healed. You're not provided for with money, with food and clothing and everything. And even when I was a kid and I wasn't saved, because I was doing the things of the Lord, and God saw the beginning and the end of me, and knew that I would do something for him, so there he always provided something for us to eat, even though it wasn't that much. And it was good that it wasn't so that much, because I might have wound up with diabetes. I might have bought boxes of candy and more of it, and all kinds of fattening foods. And it was good. We ate pretty lean when I was a kid. And it was like the wolf was always howling at the door, you know, but so I had to get out there and hustle and shovel that snow and mow that lawn and rake those leaves and sell those papers and deliver those papers and shine them shoes, you know. I got to where I could really put a good spit shine right on them, you know, better than any other person on in the world probably, because I'm like a perfectionist, you know, and I'd hit that with that shinola and the Amiga and all that sort of stuff. And I did what I had to do in order to make a buck as a kid. I had no real profession back then. And because later on I found out in life that I was good at selling things. And the Lord now wants me to convince people that his covenant is true. And the only way I can do it is through his word and what you see happening today. The people today, millions of them have been poverty stricken, and millions of them have had diseases, and they now have money, and they've got money in their pocket, and the bills come due, and they pay the bills. That's wonderful, you know, for people to have that kind of a covenant with the Lord. And there's not much in the refrigerator or the cupboards, and all of a sudden there's plenty of stuff in the cupboard and in the refrigerators. And if you're in a church like ours, I mean, you never run out of food. People have to keep bailing stuff out of their cupboards and stuff because there's so much. Their closets, you have to build bigger closets for them in order to contain all the clothing that they have, because they're keeping the commandments of the Lord and God is keeping his side of the bargain. And people that are been sick and full of disease, infirmities, and sicknesses and all these things, and they're all healed because God made this covenant and they're keeping the covenant. If you don't keep the covenant, then you've broken the covenant with the Lord. So you've got to do it. Amen?
Amen.
God did give Abraham a son, and that's why Abraham appears in the Hall of Faith, they call it. Not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews. 11th chapter, okay? So here you keep going now.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Right. So he tells you what's right. Amen?
Amen.
And if you do that which he says is right, then you're keeping the covenant with him. But if you don't, you don't have any promise of God except the evil promises that he promises that will happen to you if you don't keep the deal. Okay, God is a Jewish God. He says, here's the deal. And if you keep your part of the bargain, it's for sure God keeps his part of the bargain. Okay? God, it's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to die. And it's impossible for him to break his covenant. If he's going to keep the covenant one way or the other. If you do what he says, he's going to keep the covenant. If you don't, he's going to keep the promise that he's going to send you. let your soul go to hell, into the lake of fire. That both, no matter which way you go with God, he keeps the covenant. Amen? Because he's the true God. He's the truth. He's the honest. Praise the Lord. And you must be honest with him. You must say, and the Lord likens the relationship between you and your wife is the same as the relationship between you and God. God doesn't want you to break that relationship, because if you do, you break the relationship with God, because God says that you two are one. Amen?
Amen.
And that when you're married to your wife, or even when David was married to his wives, which God, the Bible says, he gave him, he was married to them, and he had to keep the covenant with his wives. Now, this is the Word of God. I'm not making this up. Some people say that because I preach the whole Bible that I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible, okay? Because if I don't, I'm going to be cursed. And that's why so many people in the world are cursed today, because they think that God has changed since the Old Testament to the New. But he hasn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I never change. And if you don't believe that, well, then you're breaking covenant with the Lord, because you're saying his word is false. And in reality, you're false, and that's why you're cursed today. Well, I say, well, I have money. Yeah, but do you have any diseases, sicknesses, infirmities? What about your loved ones? You know, think about that sort of stuff. Keep going.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah, even if there's all kinds of people. I've been threatened now for 41 and a half years since I've been in the ministry, that I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to do for speaking out, and you're going to get all the people in your church killed by speaking out the way you do. Not one person has died in the church because of the things that I've said, but millions of people have been saved through the things that I say. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm saying what the Lord says, and I'm trusting in the Lord, because I'm walking in the shadow of death every day of my life. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then what?
I will fear no evil.
I will fear no evil. There's no evil that I fear, because I'm keeping the covenant with the Lord. And the Lord is going to keep his covenant with me. How do I know? Because Abraham and Sarah did have a child. Amen?
Amen.
And a whole world has been blessed through that child, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 princes of Israel. And all these things happened. He told that was going to happen to Abraham. And all these things are happening. You can see that there are probably at least 300 million Christians in the world today. Whether they're all keeping the covenant with the Lord, I do not know. Okay, keep going.
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen. You're chastening, and you're keeping me in the straight and narrow path. Your word does what?
Comforts me.
It comforts me to know that the Lord is leading me in the right ways of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
The paths of righteousness. He's telling me, no, all this 2% of the people, the television sets are blaring, everybody is a homosexual. That's a dirty lie. That's a lie. Yeah, it's for sure I'm not.
Amen.
They're not accusing me of that. Some of these people say that I'm married to 100 women and so on and so forth, just because the psalmist David was, and King Solomon had 1,000 women and stuff like that. Man, I'm telling you, the government has tried to say that, and they've checked all the marriage bureaus, and they don't see any marriage of 100 women or anything like that. And I'm not going to say anything further than that, but I do believe the Bible, that it was all right. If God gave David several wives, I mean, then it was all right. Anything that God does is right. I mean, he's the, and he gave Abraham a child. That was okay too, wasn't it? And then he gave Isaac a wife, and they had two twins, and Jacob the Lord loved, and Esau the Lord hated. And then the Lord gave Jacob several wives, And, you know, I believe the Bible. If God did that and allowed that and blessed him, then it must have been all right back then. Just as it is, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same. You don't believe that? Well, then you don't believe the Bible. That means you don't believe the Word. That means you don't believe Christ, because Christ is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't. Therefore, you're not going to keep the covenant of God to preach the whole Word of God. And if you don't do that, well, then you're damned, eternally damned. Okay, so keep going.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Okay, so at the here we have the communion. There's a table there. And he had an enemy there. Wasn't it Judas Iscariot? It was the devil sitting right there at the table with him. And so he says, he prepared this table before my enemies. And right now the Lord is preparing a table before me in front of all my enemies, even though the whole United Nations, the Vatican, the United Nations, the media has tried to tear us apart. We're still on the air everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. If your friends want to know how to hear our radio broadcast, all you have to do is just call over here or email us or write us or call us even, and we will, or connect with our email, and you will. We will give you the different stations that we're on all throughout the world, everywhere in the world. So the Lord has prepared this table for me before all my enemies, and believe me, they've been threatening me for years, and I'm still kicking. Okay. Oh, are you tempting us to kill you? No, because the Lord says anyone that tries to kill one of the two witnesses, he will kill you. So if you got the guts to want to try to kill me, do it. And do it quickly, all right? Because I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of Satan. And I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. Okay? Famine, hunger, I'm not afraid of any of that stuff, okay? Because though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep reading.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
Isn't that nice to have the anointing of the Lord to be able to talk and let God talk through you? That's the oil, the actual real oil is the Spirit of God that talks right through me. To you. For who? For your benefit. Amen?
Amen.
For your benefit. Help the poor out there. I mean, if you don't send the money to us, we have plenty of poor people that are crying out to us for things. But you probably know poor people around you, too. If you just want us to get to the ones that are crying out to us, then feed the poor people around you and give them, you know, something to eat and help their little children. They're hungry. Amen?
Amen.
That's the job of the church, the body of Christ. All right? Then what? So that God... Do that. That's part of what your deal is. My deal is to feed the poor and the hungry and all these things, and to bless our enemies, to pray for everybody, Bush, everybody in the world. We're to pray for them because the Lord created them. He wants them to be saved. Amen. This is love. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying bomb anybody. I'm telling you, don't do that. I'm telling you, if they got differences and you want to convert them, then preach the gospel to them. Amen. Don't bomb them because they don't believe the way you do. Or nail them to the cross, or feed them to the lions, or whatever you do to torment people, or boycott them, or cut them off the air. I've got the words of life, and I've been cut off the air of television, and there are just a few stations will air my programs because they say I'm too controversial. Well, the truth is controversial, amen? People think, well, you're not the most popular person in the world. Well, no, I'm popular, and I'm... not popular with some people, right? Yeah, so was Jesus. I mean, do you remember? A lot of people nailed him to the cross. But now you say you worship him. But actually, if you're cursing his church and you're not believing his word, you're cursed, okay? Because it's hard for you to kick against the Almighty God. You can't fight him and win. Don't you know that? God made a covenant. He says, if you serve him, he'll bless you here on earth and eternally. But if you don't, he's going to curse you above everybody. And I'm sure that there's you can discount the curses that are happening to you right now. And if they are, well then repent so that God will start blessing it. If you repent and keep covenant with Him, keep the Lord, He tells you what to do, and if you promise to do it, then He'll keep His promise. Be sure of that. Abraham had a son. Amen? And the whole world is blessed from his son, just like God told Abraham. Now, what else?
My cup runneth over.
Wouldn't you like to have your cup run over?
Yeah.
Even the unsaved people know what that means. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, we have a cup of barley soup, let it roll over, okay, put it in a bowl so it'll catch all the refuse. Amen? Well, the Lord wants you. Your cup is you. I mean, you're the temple of God, and He wants you, His Spirit, to be so powerful in you that it runs out of you into the world. That it cascades down from heaven and cascades out of you. It flows from heaven, from the throne of God, and through you into the different people that are hearing me right now and the ones that will hear you. God is no respecter of persons. If you do what I'm doing, God will bless you as well. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Because
He keeps His word. Now, if you keep your word that you'll do what He says, then you're going to be blessed above everybody on earth. And that doesn't just me. That's everybody that will do that. Okay? So He'll make a king out of you. That means that you'll be able to rule your own self. You'll be able to have discipline yourself, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Disciplining is good, and I'll tell you why. Because it's keeping the covenant with the Lord. If you discipline yourself to do what He says, then and keep covenant with Him, then He's going to keep His promise to you. And you can. His Bible, His promise is that if you do it, everything that He owns, you own. My God! Isn't that wonderful to have to possess everything that God owns? Amen?
Amen.
That's a lot. He possesses the entire universe. But if we don't keep covenant with Him, all we possess is horrible torture and pain and agony throughout eternity. So keep covenant with God. Keep the promise with Him. Because remember, anytime you start losing your faith, go to the chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews and read about Abraham and all the others that kept faith. And incidentally, all of them did what the Lord said. They had big ministries. And God gave them, many of them, many wives. Because they were administration. Doesn't mean that they're having sex with them. People always say, everybody in this world thinks about sex. But if you read the dictionary, it says that a wife is one woman that takes care of the house. Amen?
Amen.
Or an innkeeper. That's a wife. Read Webster's Dictionary and look under there, under wife, and see what it says. So all these people, they in the world now, they think that Solomon had 1,000 wives. Well, how did he have sex with them? You are believing everything is sex because you believe what the television is telling you. Not everybody is into sex as much as you think they are. They're not. Some of them are having a lot of people that they pay to be wives, just to, in other words, they handle the office, they handle the bookkeeping, they handle the typing, they handle, they work across town someplace, everywhere. This is like, it's just helpers. I had somebody that helps you is a wife, amen?
Amen.
So don't think nasty. We're living in an era where everything is nasty. You're nasty. Your neighbor is nasty. Your television is nasty. Your radio is nasty. The magazines you buy are nasty. The books you buy are nasty. But read the Bible. God is not nasty. Amen?
Amen.
He's a covenant-keeping God. If you believe His word, then you're saved. If you doubt it, you're damned. Now what's the next one?
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah, even if you run, mercy and goodness will run right after you. No matter where you go, turn left, turn right, climb up the ladder, mercy and goodness will follow you up the ladder. Get on top of the house, and that's where mercy and goodness will be. If you're in an airplane, the thing is going to be crashing, mercy and goodness, God will touch the engine so that, put out the fire, will do many things. This happened with Sue and myself in the plane. I see my time is up. Oh, how I hate to stop talking about Jesus, amen, and the covenant of God with us. He provided everything, healing, salvation, healing, prosperity, protection, a wall of fire around and about us. Just so much. And then co-ownership of everything in the universe with him. Now, what else could a God offer you? All right? Well, I promise that we tell you exactly how to get a copy of this tape or this program or a CD. And this is program number 137. Make sure you specify whether you want a CD or a tape. And that's 137, so tell them how.
You can go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
So now, if you want to have God's covenant, then you must make a covenant with him to forgive, have him to confess all your sins. That's the first step. And to invite him into you. And then he'll wash all your sins away. That's his promise. And then he'll enter you with his Father by the Spirit. He promises that. And you'll know that it happens. And he'll heal you. And he'll heal your loved ones. Just say this prayer to him. So that let's make a covenant with the Lord. Lord, I confess my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you're the Son of the living God. I believe you died on the cross and shed your precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God, who is the Spirit, raised you from the dead by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, you will not turn me away. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. I know you've heard me. I know you. Lord, you said everyone that calls upon your name to make a covenant with you, you'll hear them and you'll save them. And I know you've heard me and I know you've answered me and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, there's always some beautiful messages from the Lord. I ask him to anoint me with his messages, and he does. It's the Lord speaking right through the vessels, and he'll do the same thing for you. It's a covenant. It's a promise. He tells you, even if you're in a courtroom, don't worry about what to say because the Father will talk right through you. And Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Until tomorrow, part 36 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and keep the Lord in you and keep praising and thanking the Lord and keep you the covenant with God because God will bless you and yours in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen.